From NPR and WBUR, I'm Lisa Mullins in for Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And we're keeping tabs on the big story today. This morning, migrants allowed to board trains to get out of Hungary. But there are reports that at least one train load was taken to a migrant camp. And migrants on other trains were asked to get off and board buses to go to a camp, not to go on to Germany, which is what they expected. So we will stay on this story.
But first, to the streets of Beijing. Today, China marked the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II and victory over Japan with a lavish parade that wound through the capital. Fighter jets roared over a massive fleet of tanks, missiles, and troops in what was clearly designed to be a show of China's growing military might. NPR's Frank Langfitt watched the parade with a group of people in Shanghai. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Lisa.
The stated purpose of this parade is to mark the victory over Japan 70 years ago in World War II. The visuals at the parade suggest something more, though. What is it?
Well, it's sort of to see all of this military hardware. Normally what they do in China is every 10 years they celebrate the founding of the People's Republic of China, which was in 1949. And the last parade I saw that was in 1999. This is a departure. They're doing this to commemorate the 70th anniversary. And to see all of this military hardware on the streets of Beijing is just really striking. As you said, huge missiles, lots of tanks. I actually used to live in that area, and I can tell you that the parade was well over a mile long. And this is also just coming at a time when there's a lot of tension in this region, in East Asia and in the South China Sea. And so I think, you know, one of the things they were doing by putting all this out here was kind of projecting power and trying to send a message actually to other countries in the region.
Projecting power at a time, though, that the president announced that he plans to cut 300,000 soldiers from the People's Liberation Army in China. I wonder, again, what the government is saying is the reason, which is to show the world, he says, and Washington, in fact, that China is not a threat. But others are reading it quite differently. How?
Well, I mean, the 300,000 soldiers is not very significant. The army will still be in about 2 million people. More importantly, everything's changing in terms of the military, obviously globally, but also here in East Asia. They're modernizing. They're going to be focusing more on the naval aspects because they're battling over islands and waters in the East and the South China Seas. And so what they need is actually a smaller force that is more sophisticated. So the cutting of 300,000, I think, was just trying to throw something in the way of countries in the region that are nervous about China to say, hey, we're not adding more personnel. But I don't think anybody who's familiar with military affairs in this part of the world found that significant.
And does the timing have anything to do with the fact that the Pentagon has now confirmed this week that five Chinese naval vessels were sailing off the coast of Alaska the first time that this has been reported?
I think what's important is looking at it from the Chinese point of view. This has been an enormous frustration for this country in that the United States has always been able to get very close to Chinese shores, done a ton of spying, and the Chinese have complained, and they never really had a blue water navy to be able to do this. Now they're able to, and I don't know what they were doing up in Alaska. They could have been looking at the Arctic and more looking at economic issues. It does show the projection of power, the ability now to project power far away. But I don't think it's something that should be terribly surprising or alarming to Americans. We're talking about China. It is a continental power. It has these ambitions. This is something that was inevitable.
In the larger picture, Frank, China has been more assertive in disputes with its neighbors over islands and waters in the East and South China Seas. How did East Asian nations respond to this major parade, something of a spectacle today?
Well, the Japanese in particular didn't like this parade much at all because they felt they were really being targeted, not just because of the past and World War II, but Japan's the third largest economy in the world. And right now they're kind of battling for control of Northeast Asia. Other countries are caught up in their own domestic issues, but they didn't seem to like it all that much, at least people in those countries that paid attention. I'll give you an example. The Philippines, they have been dealing with China building all these artificial islands, some of them not too far from the Philippines. And I was talking to a guy named Chito Santaromana. He lectures on Chinese politics at the University of the Philippines and spent many, many years in China. And he sort of questioned whether doing this parade was really a good idea. Here's what he said by Skype.
I wonder if it's a good thing to show military power at this point when the neighboring countries, like here in the Philippines, are already pretty much rattled by China's assertiveness. They could have done just a civilian parade and could have conveyed a more peaceful message.
Yeah, so you have these countries that are already very concerned about China's rise and assertiveness, and just showing them more military hardware isn't going to calm them down. The other thing is, I'm not sure how many people fully realize this, but we have had for a number of years now an arms race, a low-level arms race in Southeast Asia. And the idea that China's putting out more and more military hardware is only going to encourage other nations like Vietnam, like the Philippines, to invest more in military. And the idea of an increasingly militarized East Asia is just not attractive for the world, especially given that so much economic growth in the world occurs here.
Thank you very much. Speaking to us from Shanghai, China, NPR's Frank Langford. Thanks again.
Happy to do it, Lisa.